This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And welcome in, Diehard Nation, to SB Nation Radio. Another edition. Anthony Pepe hanging out with my pal, my friend, my buddy, my amigo.
Oh, me?
Mark Linehan.
I was looking around to see who else was in the room, because I hate you.
How you doing, buddy?
I miss you. I'm doing awesome. I miss you too, buddy.
It's been a couple weeks. I know you've been busy working at the baseball tavern at the world-famous Fenway Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Baseball tavern's been busy.
Or
also,
is it the world-famous baseball tavern at Fenway Park?
Yeah, I think it's a little both. Also, helping out with some Middle East issues and, trying to solve crimes and murders. Director of shenanigans for certain operations. But it's always good to spend a few hours with you, especially in the middle of the night.
There was some game in
and
London.
That's what I have to do.
Yesterday?
Yes, there was, matey.
30 runs scored, 17-13. Yankees beat the Red Sox first time since 1908.
You think somebody should have caught on that there was something up when the over-under was 31.5?
First time both stars were pulled getting out of the first inning. Again, 1908.
Why is the pitcher leaving, Nigel?
What was the over-under in that game? You have any idea?
Yeah, it was 11.5, which they knew runs were going to be scored.
That's a lot.
Shenanigans.
I mean,
pay
come
attention.
On.
It's loaded baseball.
You get a couple of
loaded baseball.
You get a couple
loaded
of stunt pitchers.
Loaded
seven
radio
half,
host.
Eight, 8.5, yeah, nine. 11.5 is off the charts.
Oh, somebody's coming around to shenanigans now, aren't they, big fella?
I don't know. Did you enjoy it, though? But the Yankees score six runs, and the Red Sox come back and score six runs. It's like, that is awesome.
Yeah. Especially imagine like being your first game. You think it's going to be six runs every inning.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Where do you tune into a Wednesday night Milwaukee-San Francisco game with a rain delay in the bottom of the fourth?
Do you think the players enjoyed it other than the pitchers?
I don't think players enjoy anything. They're all miserable.
Oh, come on. Really? You believe that?
I do. We got to fly across on the Queen Mary to play two baseballs in London and make 60 grand, have 50,000 cheer. And eat all the fish and chips you can eat. But remember,
you sound like an old curmudgeon.
Remember,
what's wrong with you?
You remember, chips are really French fries.
Hopefully the Red Sox can bounce back and win this
thing. Yeah, it's kind of, stupid as it sounds, in the last day of June, but it's kind of a big game. They're getting the big numbers behind those Yankees.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And welcome back. It is SB Nation Radio, SBNationRadio.com. We are the Diehards, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan. We will jump right now to the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. The man, the myth, the legend from Fox 25 Boston, our pal Butch Stearns is online. Hey, Butchie, welcome to SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, gentlemen?
Always a pleasure, Butchie.
We're living the dream, man. We're living the dream.
I'm surprised you're not over in England. You would have been a hit in that fifth hour.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, what do you think of the Sox and the Yankees playing in London over the pond there? You like this?
Yeah, I guess so. I kind of like all this kind of stuff. But one thing that I learned yesterday that kind of surprised me, I'm not sure if you guys read this, but each player got 60 grand from Major League Baseball as part of the Players Association deal. So you wonder why they're so happy to be there and they're saying all the right things?
Yeah.
60 grand to go over there and play. Give me a break.
That's what Pepe gives me. That's why I'm here to talk to you.
Hey, Butchie, Michael Chavis was asked today, yesterday, how they can turn the season around, and his response was priceless. He said, "I've been in the big leagues for 2 months, bro. I have no clue." You like this kid at all or what?
Oh, yeah, he's refreshing. The day he first came up and got his first major league hit, he was just so genuine. I mean, he's sort of, he's one of those people like Bruce Cassidy, just says what's on his mind, and it's kind of cool. It's refreshing.
He's got 14 home runs. This kid can rake. He's the real deal.
Hey, well, we're sitting here putting our show together, and for this morning. And, you know, the fact that he got thrown at after the two home runs behind his head by Adam Ottavino, I think London fans on Sunday morning might be in for a little argy-bargy now with the Red Sox and Yankees. That's going to linger.
You know, it's interesting. Obviously, I'm not happy we lose two home games. I'm sure your friend Jimmy Rooney's not real happy about that either. But, you know, we just spoke with we're speaking with Vice President Pete Nesmith from over there, who you know from Fenway around, and he was talking about how, you know, the fans really get into it and that the six-hour-long first inning was awesome for them. They weren't used to seeing that.
Yeah, well, maybe, I'm sure, ask them how they felt 5 hours later.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I did. But also, you know, you look at this team now struggling as much as they are. You know, they're still obviously in the hunt. There's not a lot of good teams in the American League. But now you got people talking about at the All-Star break, are they buyers or sellers? They better not ever be sellers.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to be sellers. I mean, they're especially with the wild card, they're always going to be contenders unless they're completely out of it. But they do have decisions to make, obviously, Mookie being the biggest one. I mean, by his actions, he's intent on going to free agency. But I don't think there's a chance in hell they're going to trade him, you know, now. If they really wanted to max their value, they would. Because if someone's going to get him for a stretch run and then under control for the next year, you'd probably get a pretty good deal for Mookie if he's intent on going for free agency. But I think we all know, and I'm not going to criticize him for this, that they're not going to take the public relations hit and trade Mookie.
No,
right, so there's that. But the bottom line is they gave Craig Kimbrell's money to Nate Eovaldi. And despite the fact that he got hurt, that was a strategic decision that's coming back to bite them on the butt. They've got 16 blown saves. They haven't had more than 20 blown saves in 5 years, and already they're on a pace for 32 this year, and that's a major problem. That's a difference between them and the other contenders in the American League right now.
Yeah, and also, you know, you get back to Mookie. I mean, you talk about he's going to go to free agent, but who can pay more money than the Red Sox? You know what I mean? It's only the competition's going to be, what, three or four teams? You know, money-wise.
Yeah, but we all know better. I remember the summer when Jacoby Ellsbury was heading to free agency and having a huge argument on WEEI with some callers and somebody telling me, he's not a $100 million player. I said, you're not listening to me. Yeah. He's not a $100 million player, but he's going to get more than $100 million.
Yep.
Baseball owners can't help themselves. So, you know, Mookie, by the end of the year, will have the numbers again. If he does it for two more years in a row, you know, who knows what the number is going to be then. Is he going to get $300 million? I think he's a better player than Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I agree. That's my point. I think that the argument about Ellsbury was they were right. I don't think he was a $100 million player either. I think Mookie's an $8 billion player, whatever. You know what I mean? There's a little difference between the two of them.
Right, but my Ellsbury analogy was that despite what we think he was and what he was worth, the market got him $155 million.
Yep.
So they can't help themselves. The baseball owners, you know, for all the players that want to talk about collusion and everything else, for the most part, in most off seasons, they can't help themselves. They just can't.
You say that, Mark, and again, you talk about one or two or three teams. You know, it's obviously the Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, and the big market teams. But then there's always these teams that throw the money out there. The Chicago White Sox offered Manny Machado huge money. So there'll be two or three other smaller teams that will come out of the woodwork that will offer him a boatload of money.
Well, look who signed him, San Diego.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and they came up with the largest deal in the history of baseball at that point until Harper signed.
You know, you also get back talking about the trading deadline. I think, you know, they're going to have to make some moves, obviously. The name that jumps out at me that's got to go is Porcello, because they've made it pretty clear he ain't coming back.
Yeah, and I think you could get something for him, but you trade Porcello. I mean, I like Porcello. He's not.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it's not his fault that he makes $20 million a year, but he's been a horse. I dare to say that he's earned his money with the Red Sox. And this year especially, when, you know, Sale has had such an aberration of a season. He has 10 strikeouts, but he can't get a decision. Yeah. He hasn't won in Fenway in over a year. When they need seven or eight innings, Porcello's the guy that gives it to them. And so, you know, the problem with them is they need bullpen arms, and this is the worst time to be trying to trade for bullpen arms. The offseason is the time to do that, and they're going to try to do it at the trading deadline. And what are they going to give up?
Yeah.
I mean, what do they have to give up? Their prospects are gone, you know?
Well, that's my point. I'm a Porcello guy with you, but I think that they've already pretty much established with their budget that he's not in it for next year. So, you know, that might be the guy you have to take a run with and, you know, dish him off of something. Because, like, we both agree we're not doing it with Mookie.
No.
Yep.
We're talking to Butch Stearns, Fox 25 Boston here, SB Nation Radio, the diehards, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan. Butch, you're around this team, and I'm not asking you to speak out of school, but what is the locker room like with this team? Obviously, they're underachieving. They win the World Series last year. What is the atmosphere like in this clubhouse?
You know, these guys have been pretty consistent. They are a likable bunch.
Yep.
They genuinely like each other. To be honest with you, I've been around this club. I was with them early in the season. I was with them all of spring training. I was with them for the whole postseason run. So I got to know a lot of these guys.
Yep.
But this year, because of the Bruins run, I haven't been around that much. So I'm not sure. I don't think there's any dissension. I think they, you know, it's a different season. I mean, everything went their way last year. There was a stat the other day when they had their 36th loss. Last year they got their 36th loss when they had 89 wins. It was 46 games ahead of when they got their 36th loss this year. So they knew it was going to be a different year. They knew it was going to be tougher. They knew they had the bullseye on their back. But, you know, I mean, they've got good management. Alex Cora is a good manager. And really all that matters is them getting into the postseason. That's the only thing that matters.
Hey, Butchie, final thoughts here. We've got about a minute left here. You mentioned the Bruins. What was the biggest downfall that the Bruins suffered here? I mean, why did they lose this thing?
That's a good question. I just did a one-on-one interview with Bruce Cassidy, and I asked him, how do you get over something like that? And this is one of the things I love about Cassidy. He goes, I don't know how you get over something like that.
Okay.
He goes, but I got a wife and kid to go home to, and I can't take it home every day. Yeah. And I think I'm going to put it in the back of my mind and try to pull it out when I need to and get ready for October because it's going to be tough. And so, we always look at it from a Boston perspective. I think we got to turn our hats around and look at it from a St. Louis perspective. They really earned that Stanley Cup. They really did. They beat him in Game 7, and anybody who was at the Garden knows, and even if you were watching, once that second goal was scored, it was over.
Yeah.
Over.
And you know what, Butchie, the one thing that comes back to me is a pro for St. Louis more than a downer for the Bruins. The Bruins lost 3 games at home.
Right.
That can't happen.
Right.
You know?
No. I mean, when you lose 3 games at home, you don't deserve to win a series, that's for sure.
Unless you win 4 on the road.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Butchie, thank you so much for catching up.
Butchie.
We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you later on down the line, okay?
All right, Pap. All right, Mark. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Butchie.
All right, there he is, Fox 25 Boston, Butch Stearns.
Good guy.
Good guy. He's been covering the New England sports scene for a very, very long time, and you hear him on WEEI, which we are on as well.
And you know what, Pap? I get to meet most of those guys, in my, over-serving people generally. He's bats leadoff as far as a normal good guy. Just sit down and drink beers with him,
Quick TO. We'll come right back. He's Mark Linehan. My name is Anthony Pepe. We are the Diehards, and you're locked in SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And we are back. It is SB Nation Radio, SBNationRadio.com. We are the Diehards broadcasting live from Boston. So, we're talking Boston Celtics, Kyrie Irving, and all that stuff that surrounds the NBA free agency. It's crazy time in sports. It's crazy time in the NBA. And we'll go to the Progressive Insurance guest line right now. Joining us from WEEI, friend of the diehard, our longtime pal, Patrick Gilroy. Gilroy, what's going on, my man?
What's happening, Pat, man? Good to hear from you.
Hey, Pat, before we even start, I see you on Twitter. You went down flying. You got all banged up. How you doing? All right? You healthy or what? Boy, obviously we've learned you can take a punch.
I mean, I was feeling terrible. It was a 15-foot fall directly onto my back.
And wow.
Right after, it was on draft night. The Celtics drafted 4 rookies. Then they picked up another rookie in Taco Fall, and it was a miserable night for me. So I said, what the hell? Went backwards. And there was nothing else to live for at that point. And suddenly, within 48 hours of that, the Kemba Walker rumor started, and miraculously now my back is feeling all better.
Now, funny how that works.
Yeah, now we're all Boston guys and everything, and EEI is a big deal to us. What's going on with Glenn Ordway giving you a hard time about this stuff?
So Glenn and I kind of go back a little bit. So we're having a good time. Glenn, there's a good black and white picture if you go through Glenn's Twitter timeline with Glenn being a fat 9-year-old along with my skinny father and my skinny uncle next to him taking a picture in front of the Lynn Y that made the newspaper. So we've known the Ordway family for a long time, and Ordway likes to press my buttons. But Ordway is the ultimate ultimate troll, and that's what I respect him for. He knows how to play both sides of the fence better than anybody, and so what I do is I call him out on it. So from 2 to 6 every day, he plays both sides of the fence. And then I go on the air at 10 o'clock, and I call Glenn out on every fence-sitting move that he does, and he doesn't particularly care for that, but I'll take it as a compliment that next week I'll be filling in for Glenn 2 or 3 times over there at EEI.
Oh, so good for you. Get it going. Oh, rattle some cages.
He calls you the green teamer. Does that bother you, man?
No, man, because I am a green teamer, Pep, and you know this.
Yes, I do.
I own the identity. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. If I was trying to be something that I'm not, I wouldn't still be doing this 20 years after the first time I've met you. I am who I am. I am a green teamer, and I'm going to look at things through an optimistic lens most of the time. And if people don't like that, then they don't have to tune in. But it's worked all right for me for the last 20 years, and I'm not going to pretend to be somebody else.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you came off the injured reserve lift to drive Kyrie to the airport?
It's funny, Mark. Back in February, right at the All-Star break, I had Bob Ryan on with me, and he said that it was the first time in his career the Celtics had a consensus top 20 player that he couldn't find a way to like. And at that point, Bob Ryan said that he would take Kyrie to the airport. So he was done with him before anybody else. Look, the Kyrie Irving thing, it didn't work out. We were all excited 2 years ago when the Celtics acquired him. But I don't think anybody understood who he was as a guy, as a person, and you know, his own personal flaws and how those would translate to the Celtics. But he truly wanted to be bigger than the franchise. And the franchise was willing and able to try to appease him and make him larger than the franchise. But he just couldn't see eye to eye with these guys. And ultimately, the biggest problem with Kyrie Irving is he's 27 years old going on 7. He can't take any accountability or responsibility. So the last 5 games he played for the Celtics in the playoffs, Mark, were the worst 5 games by any Celtic player in a playoff game in 50 years. Wow. He's taken more than 15 shots in each one of those games. The last player to perform that poorly was Sam Jones in 1965. And Kyrie, instead of taking any accountability and responsibility for his role in the Celtics' demise this year, immediately in the aftermath of that loss against the Bucks, he didn't take responsibility. He said he was looking forward to watching the Bucks move on to the next round. And at that moment, right there when he said that, I think most of Celtic Nation, and most green teamers anyways, felt a little sick to their stomach. That their star player, the guy that led the franchise, couldn't even pretend to give a damn for 5 or 10 minutes.
You know, Pep and I are talking. We had some Cleveland connections back in the day that told us right before it even started that, you know, this guy's a jerk. It's not really a big surprise coming here. But, you know, you think now, you read the, you know, after he's all done and gone, the Jackie McMullen story yesterday, all kinds of stuff. Does this have a little bit of the Red Sox M.O. on it about throwing some shade at him on his way out the door?
So it does, with the exception of, we've been hearing some of this stuff for the better part of the last, I don't know, 9 or 10 months. There was even whispers going all the way back to back in October when Kyrie made the announcement that he wanted to stick around here. You go back to the phrasing of what Kyrie said. He said, you know, the Celtics will have me. So there was already some doubt in his mind at that point. But come November, the very beginning of the season, there were more than one writer in Boston sort of starting to call Kyrie out for his inability to lead. And I think Kyrie recognized that because it was in December that Kyrie himself asked Danny Ainge publicly to go get a 14 or 15-year veteran player. The Celtics put all their eggs in the basket of one guy, Mark. And you would think that a guy in Kyrie Irving, with his reputation, with his skill set, with the resume that he comes with, that was the right guy to do it with, right? But the Celtics, for a team that put all of their assets into, you know, studying these guys they draft, we've heard how many stories the Celtics went and they sent 4 or 5 different guys to go follow a guy around that they really wanted to draft high. Danny Ainge has been here for almost 20 years. You would think that they would have had some sort of uneasiness or been a little bit wary about putting all their eggs into the basket of Kyrie Irving, but instead they went in the other direction, and they gave it all to Kyrie. But because Kyrie's too immature to take any responsibility, I feel like, you know, the Celtics, they did the right thing here, and Kyrie is doing the right thing for himself. But don't be surprised if in 2 years we're seeing the same thing happen in Brooklyn, because the same thing is going to happen time and time again in his career. He's not always going to win a championship. And as the premier player on a team, as your franchise player, as the player that everybody else respects and looks up to, if you can't take ownership for losses, especially in the postseason, the fans are going to get on you. The media is going to get on you. And it seems to me that the moment the fans and media give Kyrie even a little bit of an attitude, Kyrie wants no part of it.
You're listening to the Diehards SB Nation Radio. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Longtime friend of the show, Patrick Gilroy. You hear him on WEEI. He is Glenn Ordway's number one supporter, and he's a green teamer. Hey, Gilroy, in all seriousness, the last 300 games, I saw this stat on ESPN, Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker had the same, basically, same stats. Points per game, 23.6, I believe it was. 5.4 assists for Kyrie. Kemba had 5.3. I mean, basically, they had the same stats in the last 300 games. But we're talking about the last 300 games, Gilroy. They have the same identical stats.
Yeah, I know. But they're virtually the same. Offensively, they're going to perform the same way, but they do it in different ways. Okay, Kyrie Irving, and I said this on EEI last night. You know, there's this narrative that Ordway is really perpetuating on EEI that, you know, Kyrie is far and away the better player than Kemba Walker, and the Celtics, they're taking a step back at the point guard position. And to me, it's an uneducated and ill-informed way of looking at this. Look, is Kyrie Irving a better player than Kemba Walker if they're playing in a one-on-one competition? Probably. Kyrie will probably beat Kemba one-on-one in some sort of a competition. But that's not how the NBA works, and the team environment has to matter here. And it was clear from day one this year that Kyrie Irving is a guy that had no interest in integrating his younger teammates and in taking a leadership role and in, you know, playing the way that Brad Stevens wants him to play and in being an extension of Brad onto the court. He wanted no part of that. His ego wouldn't allow it. You know, the worst thing that ever happened to Kyrie Irving, Pep, is playing with LeBron James for all those years because
sure.
It made him believe that he should be treated the same way that LeBron is treated. But the difference between the two is you can put LeBron on a 30-win team tomorrow and they win 55 games. And Kyrie Irving just doesn't have that same impact on winning. And ultimately, until Kyrie can accept the fact that he's not LeBron James, he's going to have to deal with this part of his career over and over and over again. But these two guys, virtually the same offensively, the primary difference is you're going to get a better defensive player in Kemba Walker, and you're going to get a guy that is willing and able to not only listen to Brad Stevens, but to thrive in Brad Stevens' system. You know, forget the Kyrie era for a minute. Go back to what Brad was able to do for Isaiah Thomas. I feel like if he was able to do that for IT, you're going to see that, plus a little bit more with Kemba Walker. And the Celtics are going to be fun to watch again next year. The ball's going to pop and move around. There's going to be that pace and space moving without the basketball. And you're going to see the Celtics execute Brad's offense the way that we haven't seen it executed since Kyrie got here.
So we've established that Bob Ryan drove Kyrie to the airport, and you picked up Kemba. Now, what else to the?
Kemba's not older than him.
No, he isn't. No. But you know, when you were driving Kemba, back from the airport, did you talk about like what else the Celtics can do? Like what? What can they? I mean, what pieces are left to fill around him? Is what I mean.
All right. So here's the thing. So the Celtics right now, their primary issue, if I had to pick an issue with this team, fundamentally, they've still got a major flaw here. So last year, one of the problems that they had was Kyrie needed his shots, Jason Tatum needed his shots,
sure.
Jaylen Brown needed his, and eventually Hayward needed his. You still have that same dynamic here. You know what I mean? So there's this idea, because the Celtics don't have much left to spend. They're going to most likely, all signs are pointing to them keeping Daniel Kite. It's about $1.6 million. It's pennies for a seven-footer, so fine. That leaves them with about $1 million to spend under their cap and then the $4.7 million mid-level trade exemption, and they'll have that to spend. And whether that's enough to get a guy like Looney or Enes Kanter, we'll see there. But Ed Davis, those are the types of names you're going to see there. But I still think that whether it's, and I don't necessarily look forward to this, but whether it's a guy like a Marcus Smart or a guy like Jaylen Brown,
hey, Gilroy, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy these free agency.
Yeah, no, more importantly, have a fifth on the fourth at Ordway's Cookout.
It's going to be a good time. This is my Christmas Eve voice, so I appreciate this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Gilroy,
thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. There he is, Patrick Gilroy, WEEI, Quick TO. You're listening to the SB Nation Radio.
This is the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And we are back. It is SB Nation Radio. You got Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan, the Diehards. And we are broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston.
Oh, I'll save it.
You save it, please. Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, Linehan.
I know, I heard that.
Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact SuperStart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price.
Do O'Reilly, they check blood pressure?
They do not. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line right now. Joining us, the Vice President of Ballpark Operations for the Boston Red Sox, live in
Across
London.
Across the pond, fella.
Pete Nesbitt. Hey, Pete, we appreciate you getting up early, buddy. Thanks, and welcome to SB Nation Radio.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you. We're just getting day number two started over here.
I hope it's better than day number one.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's going to be the goal for sure.
Yeah, score more than they do, Coach.
Hey, did you pull the Chevy Chase on Look Kids, Big Ben Pollerman? I just can't get left.
You know, I'm really disappointed that, you know, about Big Ben. It's covered in scaffolding. It's under, like, a major renovation for the next 3 years. So nice, you don't even get to see it.
It's kind of like medium Ben.
Hey, Pete, we know you didn't fly over in that luxurious plane, that flying cruise ship, but what was everybody's discussion about that ship? What was that plane like?
Oh, it was awesome. They're talking about it as like the Ritz-Carlton with wings. So, yeah, it's a private company. I think there's 85 seats or so on it, but, you know, they have a lounge there, you know, bathroom's full size. All sorts of creature comforts. Every seat lays flat. So it was, you know, a lot of the guys were hoping the plane ride was going to last another hour or two. And then, you know, the tides turned quickly once we got on the bus to head to the team hotel. It was about 3 hours from the airport to the hotel.
Wow. How'd the players take that?
And only about 25 miles. So you can imagine some of the boys were not pleased with that trip.
I would imagine not after flying all night.
So Linehan, is that how you're going to fly when you go see your buddy Chip in UCLA? You going to fly
Chip actually,
Crystal Sky Boeing 777-200LR Worldliner wide-body jet?
Chip actually agreed to pay for 2 Greyhound seats for me so I could stretch out about Montana. Hey, Pete, talk about the trip, you know, regardless of the baseball stuff. I know I've been in touch with you this week a little bit. Talk about some of the cool stuff that you guys have been involved in.
Yeah, we've had some great events. You know, our Red Sox Foundation, who partners with Mass General Hospital on the home base program,
awesome.
Threw a big gala on Thursday night over at Kensington Palace.
Of course, where else
would you be? That's where all the young Royals live. So, no sign of Will and Kate, but we were looking for them. But that was a really great event. You know, we had about 300 people. The Governor Baker was there, and you know, we raised a ton of money. You know, it was $10,000 a plate or something ridiculous. So that was really cool to see that venue. And then Friday night, MLB threw a big gala at the Tower of London. So, you know, that's another place with an interesting history. You know, we saw some of the torture chambers.
Wow.
So that was really cool. We went over to Buckingham Palace, did an event there with Alex Cora and Aaron Boone on Friday morning. And so, yeah, you know, we're getting to see the sights for sure. It's just, you know, it's not easy to get around this city. You know, if you think you sat on traffic on 93, you haven't seen anything until you've come to London.
Plus, they drive on the other way of the street, which I generally do late at night anyway, so it would work out pretty good.
Right, yeah, you'd fit right in.
Did any of those places remind you of, like, your regular Thursday and Friday nights at the baseball tavern?
Yeah, very similar. You know, it's reminiscent. And, you know, the bad jokes from the staff there is definitely...
Oh, no, you did.
Very similar.
Hey, one more thing that you told me about that you didn't mention was the war room. Explain that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the Churchill War Rooms is probably the coolest thing that I've seen since coming over here. I mean, it's you know, it's right in the same neighborhood as our hotel. And it's the underground bunkers that he basically planned World War II, the defense from, and unbelievable history down there. You know, just seeing how everything was set up, where everybody, where they were commanding all the efforts from, and they had dining rooms, they had sleeping quarters, they had these map rooms, they had a radio booth similar to Pepe's basement,
Yeah. And, pretty much, Pete. Same thing.
So, that was definitely, for me, that was the coolest thing that I've seen up close and personal. I mean, the Blitzkrieg, the onslaught there that they were able to beat back from the Germans is unbelievable. And, just to see where Churchill was calling all the shots is very impressive.
We're talking to Pete Nesbitt, Vice President of Ballpark Operations for the Boston Red Sox.
An overall good dude.
In London. And this is good stuff. So, Pete, I really need to know the hard-hitting questions. How's the food and beverages over there?
Horrible.
Oh, really?
Horrible.
That's
all the
disappointing.
Beer's warm, and the pubs close at midnight. It's insane. I thought
what?
This was like this global international city. And every single pub shuts down at midnight. You can't get a beer anywhere.
How about hotel bars?
The hotel bars can they stay open all night. They actually, literally, there's a rule here. You cannot close if hotel guests are in the hotel bar. So we've had a
couple. Could you imagine if that rule happened around here?
He kind of has that rule over here.
Yeah. Pack a lunch, mate. Get comfortable.
Buckle up, fella.
Hey, Pete, talk a little bit about the fan base over there. What was the atmosphere like in the stadium?
Oh, I had a great crowd. We were over 50,000 people in the stadium. Definitely a mixed crowd, a lot of Yankee fans, a lot of Red Sox fans, and they were into it, for some of the British crowd that maybe doesn't know baseball very well. I think they probably think it's the most exciting game in the world. I mean, balls were flying out of the stadium, guys were coming in and out, all over the bases. So they definitely got their money's worth tonight. I don't know if the clubhouses were too happy with the performances, but
the fans were
enjoying it.
I'm sorry, I read that it was a big deal that they could keep the baseballs. I guess in the other sports, you got to throw them back. I guess you're throwing soccer balls back, but cricket and all that crap.
Yeah, the soccer ball, cricket, they use the same ball or whatever it's called the entire event. So they made PA announcements all night saying, fans, don't throw the baseballs back onto the field. You can keep them.
What about walking around the park, Pete? You like concession and stuff like that? Did you get a chance to check any of that out?
Yeah. So the stadium's really cool. It was built for the Olympics in 2012, and it's surrounded by rivers. So it's basically on an island, and there are five bridges that connect it to the train stations and stuff. There literally are zero parking lots. So 98% of the attendees take the train to the event, and they come over these bridges, and they have it really well coordinated. Which train station should come over which bridge. And, they have an unbelievable camera system. There's over 1,200 cameras around the facility that were put in place for the Olympics. So the stadium's very impressive. That was cool to see today.
Is it a lot like the Red Line here at home?
Yeah, no. I think Governor Baker should stay a couple extra days. He can probably learn something.
Hey, Pete, I was watching ESPN earlier this week with Alex Rodriguez talking about his biggest concern of the game in the stadium were all the white seats and the players weren't going to be able to see the ball. Well, apparently that wasn't the case because there were 30 runs scored.
Yeah, they were certainly seeing well from home plate, that's for sure. I know right at the beginning, I don't think it was the seats, but more the sun was pretty tough in center field. So I think you saw in the first inning, Jackie Bradley had a tough time with the first one. And Michael Chavis too, on a high pop up. So the foul territory is huge. So
yeah, it's like
I think
Oakland, right?
There's more foul territory than Oakland. Yeah. So that took a little getting used to for the guys. But I know Rick Porcello, after seeing the field on Friday, was not he didn't love the dimensions. It was only about 380 out the center. So. Yeah. And you can see how well that went for him. So that
what were the English people thinking when it was 6-6 after 1 hour and one inning?
They were thinking this is a great sport. Very
hey, Pete, we hear about it all the time.
It played really fast. You know, they used turf over there, so it wasn't natural grass.
Yeah.
You know, played really fast, so you saw a ton of balls get to the wall that normally the outfielders get to and cut off. So a lot of what looked like singles were turning into doubles real quick.
Pete, we hear about it all the time with you know, all these different leagues wanting to, you know, globalize their sport and play in different areas to build a bigger fan base. And we, you know, we even heard with the Bruins going to China. They really weren't thrilled about going to China. But it seems to me that the Red Sox and Yankees, the players generally wanted to do this game, did they not?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, once they got here, you know, they found it very cool.
Okay,
you know, it's a different routine for them, which, you know, these guys are really creatures of habit.
Sure.
You know, they play every single day, you know, and the veterans especially, they know every city, they know the hotel, they know where they like to go eat, they know the ballpark. And so then, you know, when they get here and everything's new, I think that makes it a little difficult for them. So, and it takes them away for another week. So, you know, we leave here, we go to Toronto for a series, then we play in Detroit for a series. Then we have the All-Star game, which, you know, because we won the World Series, Alex Cora and all the coaches are managing the All-Star game. We're hoping to get a couple players there. So, you know, it's basically three straight weeks that they're on the road, which is tough for these guys. But, you know, we've run into them out walking around. A lot of them have seen the city, and, you know, so they're definitely enjoying it. But the change in routine is tough for them. You know, it's hard to you know, it's hard to feel too bad for these guys knowing that they're, you know, flying over on the Ritz with wings and getting everything taken care of for them, but they're still human. So, you know, things, you know, change can be difficult, and, you know, the time difference.
Hey, Pete, did most of them bring their families?
So, yeah, we got a lot of families here. I think there's over 100 family members connected to the guys. So
did they fly over separately? Did they have a different charter for those people? Or did they just get over there on their own, or?
Yeah, they came over on their own.
Yep. Hey, what? One quick. I know you're not obviously in the baseball and operations, but any worry about how this will affect them? You know, the travel and all that crap when they get to Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're trying to take steps. You know, they've done all sorts of studies on the sleep patterns and trying to get them adjusted as quick as possible. But definitely concerned. You know, there's some players that thought maybe this should have been at the beginning of the season. You know, logistically that's not possible with. Yep. You know, the soccer season in full swing over here in England, but, you know, doing it in the middle of the season is definitely not ideal.
Hey, Pete, final question. We've got about a minute left here. How does the revenue work with this? Is it like the team split the revenue?
No, so there are home games, the Red Sox home games. So MLB basically buys us out of home games.
Okay.
You know, so they make us whole for the games that we would have played at Fenway.
Interesting.
And then they're responsible for putting on the event over here. And all
interesting
the revenue
stuff.
And expenses associated with it.
Well, Pete, have a great game two today, and hopefully it's a better outcome than game number one. But enjoy. Thank you so much. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you later on down the line. Okay, buddy?
Could you bring me home some bangers and mash?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to getting a win today and leaving happy for Toronto. So we will catch up with you guys soon. I appreciate the time.
Thank you very much, Pete.
There he is, Vice President of Ballpark Operations for the Boston Red Sox, live in London. Pete Nesbitt joining us here on the Diehards. And again, game number one yesterday in London, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 17-13. Very entertaining game.
Yeah.
It was the first time since 1908, Linehan, that both starters were pulled before getting out of the first inning.
Yeah,
I know
you
knew that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I once got pulled in the second inning. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, Pete's my friend, and I appreciate him coming on. But talk about dropping knowledge, stuff I didn't have any
good
idea
stuff.
About. You know,
very cool.
It's pretty interesting. Yep.
Quick TO, we'll come right back. You're listening to Diehards. He's Linehan. I'm Pepe. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're locked in to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
We are back. It is SB Nation Radio, SBNationRadio.com. Welcome back. It is the Diehards. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, here to tell you about BestHotelRates.com.
Ooh, I could use a best hotel rate.
Of course you could. Let's talk travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year.
I just did.
How are you booking your hotel rooms?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I've got a suggestion for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
BestHotelRates.com.
What is it called again?
BestHotelRates.com.
Hmm, that sounds like a good name.
Has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels.
Hey, I'll give you $22. You give me $25, I'll take $18. Oh, here's a bunk bed.
Worldwide and extended those discounts to you.
To who?
You.
Oh, wow. You.
Simply go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel, and not Frank Viola.
Yeah.
But voila. Or...
Is there a continental breakfast option?
You're looking at discounted rate for many of the hotels that you could pay more for somewhere else.
How about bacon? I like to have a lot of bacon.
Save your money. Book your hotels through BestHotelRates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation. Wow. So your stay is safe and secure.
This place got it all. What's it called again?
It's called BestHotelRates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name.
Well, yeah, BestHotelRates.com.
There
it is. Doesn't say WorstHotelRates.com.
It does
not. It tells you right what you're getting.
Correct.
Right to the point.
Hey, did you see the Julian Edelman special?
You know what I did? Yes, I did.
Since 2014, he's averaged 6.4 receptions a game, fifth in the NFL. Antonio Brown at 7.6. Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, 6.8. Odell Beckham Jr., 6.6. And Jules at 6.4. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is. I think the highlight of the show to me was his father is a piece of work. His father
really?
Used to blindfold him, throwing balls at him.
Oh, and, so he was a nutbag, yeah, like, gotten him ready. Yeah. And it actually worked out pretty well.
And then wouldn't talk to him when he got suspended for PEDs.